You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we're talking about free-to-play games and comic adaptations or something. I don't know. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. I mean, technically, all of that's true. Technically, all of that's true, but a very specific free-to-play game and a very specific comic book adaptation.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Travis.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brandon. And if you want to get a hold of us, there's a few ways you can do that.
Here's my personal cell phone number.
504-627-1389. That's right. 602-138-5422.
867-5309. That's right. Leave a message with my assistant, Jenny.
Hey, remember that time a long time ago that we dialed for Call and Oates? Remember that? Remember Call and Oates? Do you remember that?
Like a person named Colin Oates?
No. If you dial 719-26-OATES, you're calling the Call and Oates hotline, the Hall and Oates emergency hotline.
Yes.
They'll play some Hall & Oates in there. So remember, 719-26-OATS
for your emergency Hall & Oates fix. I'm Travis. He's Brandon. If you do want to, in fact, keep up with this podcast or anything else we do content wise, follow us on Twitter at Apathusiast. I am at Joe Gomino. He is at Barnyard Cruise. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow, or send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. We are on Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. Our website, where you can catch this show, all of our podcasts, anything we make, apatheticenthusiasm.com. We are streaming live right now and almost every Monday night, occasionally a Sunday, over at twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. You can follow us over there, get notified when we go live. You can also follow along at YouTube, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where you can like, subscribe, do all the things that the kids are doing over there on the YouTubes. Catch past video versions of all of our episodes. You can also support the show directly at Patreon, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thank you to all of the patrons for being so wonderful. And that's it. All the stuff's out of the way. Everything else is impromptu. It's
loosey-goosey. It's like in racing games,
improvised,
right? Racing game. You got in sports racing where you tighten the suspension up, right? And you tighten the suspension, and that's when you want to get that top speed, right? But there's going to be lots of twists, lots of turns, slowing down. You want to loosen the suspension just a little bit so you can get better handling around those corners.
And yeah, that's why this podcast is so loose, is so we can get a better handle on what we're talking about.
yeah. We're not trying to go fast. Oh, no.
Just loose.
Just fast. slow and loose. That's the way we like it.
Oh, how you doing, Brandon?
I'm all right.
In your Guardians of the Galaxy t-shirt.
All right. It's my Microsoft Ignite t-shirt.
Ignite the Microsoft.
Things are going good, Travis. I'm glad you asked. I'm on vacation this week from my actual job. Ooh. And
your actual job, not this job. This one you still got to come to work to.
No. Yeah, I guess that implies that I have a job somewhere else. No. So yeah, I'm taking vacation week, and so far I have done. I feel like I've actually been pretty productive.
Look at you.
Tomorrow I'm probably gonna wake up early and go see Maverick. There's a 9:30 showing. So I'll probably wake up to do that.
I don't need to see it. I could probably see it this week. Odds are I can see it this week.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Odds are
I might see the new Jurassic World later on in the week. I try.
Have you heard the reviews? Have you heard?
I have heard the reviews, and some people who I know who have seen it enjoyed it. The reviewers, not necessarily fans. There's this one guy on AV Club. I don't know if AV Club has always been so negative, Nancy, but there's certain reviewers on AV Club that are just, they hate everything. They just don't like, there's nothing that I've seen that they like.
Okay.
And it one of the Jurassic World reviews came from them. And so I'm a little skeptical of their tastes nowadays.
Yeah, I have a coworker who went and saw it this weekend who was like, are you excited about seeing the movie? Because if you are, go ahead and temper those expectations just a little bit. And I was like, oh, okay, all right. I mean, Jurassic World was pretty good, but like, I don't know. I think they could have stopped making Jurassic Park films 4 movies ago.
Well, they did stop making Jurassic Park films. Now they're making Jurassic World films. What they need to do is need to stop making Jurassic World films and start talking about Jurassic Galaxy, where the dinosaurs, they're flying spaceships, they're going through like trade wars and stuff like that.
They have a galactic senate that an evil dinosaur is trying to overthrow and become the emperor of the
and all the humans are extinct, and these dinosaur scientists find some human embryos encased in glass. I don't know,
an epoxy resin.
Yes. So they drill into it, and then they start cloning humans. And then, soon enough.
And then the one human is like, what's going on? Where am I? And then he finds the Statue of Liberty.
You finally did it. Damn you. Damn you all to hell. Scene.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect movie. Just make that. Sell a million tickets.
You requested it.
Well, yeah, I'm excited for you to see Maverick and enjoy all of your downtime, your time off, watching Jurassic things.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure.
That's fine.
Watching Jurassic things. Trying to grow. I'm using this week to grow out some facial hair. It's slow growing so far. I really just want to shave it with Manscaped.
Oh, hi.
Just kidding. No, I want to
use the code Unity for 20% off or something.
I want to use my patchy facial hair to see how long it goes. And really, just relaxing, sitting outside all morning out on my table. There's just it's silent, it's quiet. All you hear is like the breeze, the sun's coming up over the sun or over the mountain side, and I just sit there for 5 to 6 hours straight playing Diablo on my phone.
Is that what you did this morning? Like, are you like over like level 60 now? Have you just completely left me in the dust?
I am over 60 now. Yeah, I'm level 60 Paragon 1.
All right. Well, this brings us to our first topic this evening, this afternoon, this morning, whenever you're listening to this podcast. And that is, of course, a brand new game from Blizzard Entertainment, free to play on my device and yours. That is, of course, Diablo Immortal. Game's been out for, a couple weeks now? Couple weeks?
Yeah. Does it? Yeah. Couple weeks. Yeah, like a week and a half. It feels like.
That's when we started playing it. It was out a good half a week before we started too. Okay. So, but yeah, I mean, it's out. It initially when this game was announced, there was limited excitement from some of the fan base. People typically love Diablo games, have loved them for a really long time, and when Blizzard announced that they were making a mobile version. I think fans were just kind of, they just like wanted Diablo 4. They're like, don't make a game that exists in between two of the other games that doesn't really add to the story. And I have to play it on a smartphone. Give me a full on Diablo game. But I will say the game was pretty fun. And, in terms of if you ever been a fan of Diablo and wanted to have the option to play that game wherever you are at any given time and just carry it around in your pocket, well, have I got the game for you.
This is the time to be alive for you.
Yes.
So Diablo on mobile, before we get into Diablo on mobile, I just want to gauge your history with the series. Which other Diablo games have you played? What's your experience level with the Diablo series?
I don't think I played Diablo 1 until after Diablo 2 came out. When did Diablo 2 come out?
I think like 97 or yeah, like 96, 97.
Initial release 2000.
Oh, Diablo 2?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So June 29th of 2000.
I didn't realize it came out after StarCraft.
So then maybe I did play the first Diablo, because... But I definitely... The first time really getting into a Diablo game would have been Diablo 2. And that was right around the time when I had built my first PC, like built my own. And... Yeah, played a ton of it, played through the story, really enjoyed it. Diablo 3, I also played, but again, like same sort of situation, played through the story mode, played through the campaign, really liked it, and then kind of put it away. I was like, all right, this is fun. And then it wasn't until a couple of years ago when people are like, hey, new character being released for Diablo 3. I was like, are you talking about that game from like 10 years ago? Like Diablo 3? Like, oh yeah, I still play all the time. I'm this level such and such.
Yeah.
My eyes were opened to the fact that people would just run through dungeons and raids
over and over,
over and over again. For slightly incrementally over. Better pieces of equipment.
And over.
So that they could then do the same thing over and over and over
again. And over and over and over again, yeah. I was a fan of StarCraft. I was a huge fan of StarCraft, which came out... And I think that came out in 97, 98. And Blizzard then came out with... I knew Diablo was around... Then I guess Diablo 2 came out in 2000. I was already in, I think, Arkansas. I was living in Arkansas, and I knew a bunch of people who played it. All the way up until like 2008, 2009, people were still playing Diablo 2. And I'm like, okay, what's up with this game that everyone loves it? And I don't know what was up with my computer at the time, but it everything felt like it was just like everything was moving so super fast. Like graphics accelerated, and I'm like, okay, this is weird. It didn't click for me. So I didn't play through Diablo 2. It wasn't until 2012 when Diablo 3 rolled around, that I started playing the game. And then the expansion came out and I played the hell out of that. And my Diablo experience is I fiend over the game. I binge the hell out of it. It's like a phase thing. It's like Minecraft. It's like any like SimCity, any of those types of games where I just play
Civ.
play the hell out of it for a very short period of time, a concentrated period of time, like orange juice. And then like, okay, yeah, that's good enough. I'm done with it.
I've gotten enough. I've reached the level cap and I've done this, that, and the other. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Time to play stuff. Well, it's on Game Pass.
Because like the increment, like I want to get to the Paragon level. So for those who don't play Diablo, once you get to the level cap, which in Diablo Immortal, it is level 60. I think everything is level 60 basically. Then you start leveling up more, and those are called Paragon levels, which lets you go into harder dungeons. So the same dungeons you've been running the entire game, but now harder versions, which they call Hell 1 through, you know, infinity.
Yeah. Stronger monsters, more monsters.
Yeah. And that's where like you can blaze through the game with whatever normal build you have for your character. So if you have a barbarian or a demon hunter or a necromancer, basically it doesn't matter what your build is for the entire game. You can just play through it that way. Once it's getting into like the hell difficulties and these paragon levels, that's when the art or the science of maximizing, min-maxing your character to get like, okay, yeah, this build does so much damage and I need this gear set in order to maximize that damage and also survivability. That's when it gets into that scientific piece of it. And that's where I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah. If I have to do research on like the types of armor and stuff, then I'm usually like out. And the other thing that doesn't help for me as a player is in almost any game, if there is a raid type aspect to the game, that's usually when I check out. Yeah. So World of Warcraft, played through World of Warcraft to whatever the max level was at any given time, but numerous times, different characters, different sides, all sorts of things. But as soon as I like would max out and then it's be like, all right, let's go do this raid. Be like, yeah.
All right.
Kind of good. Like I did that yesterday. Yeah, but we can do it better and faster and get more stuff. Yeah, but it's the same fight like as it was yesterday. Like, and to me, like I understand why there's appeal there. Mm-hmm. And I understand the idea of getting a group of people together and everybody having different roles and things like that. Like I do understand that. So I'm not hating on anybody that loves those parts of the game. For me, it just doesn't feel as fun. I
imagine it's like racers, like swimmers or track runners, race car drivers. They're always, they get their best time, their best score. And they're always, even if it's just a few seconds faster. Yeah. Oh, cool. I beat it. I did it faster and faster and faster. For me, that, and I think it for you too, to, you know, like the fact that you got to the time that you needed to get, like, okay, anything below that, I'm just working extra hard for diminishing returns. And at some point in time, I'm not going to be able to get faster. So instead of trying to do that and then failing at it, like I already beat it. I already did what I needed to do.
And that's one of the things that I think is really interesting about Diablo Immortal, right? And the, I don't know, business strategy behind this game, right? Because it is available on your mobile device. You can get it for PC, not currently supported on Mac OS, unfortunately.
Yeah, weird.
But this is a free to play game, right? So you have to pay $0 to download this game and start playing it. If you have never played a Diablo game, you're like marginally interested in any of the conversation we've had so far, you can check it out for free right now. Like, no monies, and which is not a new thing. This is something that a lot of games are doing. One of the biggest games of the world, Fortnite, started out as just this free to play battle royale game, and they've made all of the monies, right, off of microtransactions and battle passes and things like that. And so that model has continued to find its way into lots of other types of games, and now Diablo being the latest version of it. So while you can get in the game for free, you can play all the way to level 60 and, you know, do pretty much, I think, all of the things without having to spend any money, there are ample opportunities and the game will remind you on a regular basis that there are opportunities for you to spend your hard-earned dollars to advance or unlock other options within the game.
I feel like ample is an understatement.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing that gets me about the game. Full disclosure, Travis and I both bought the Battle Pass for Diablo. Diablo Immortal. And I had an iTunes gift card. So I ended up using it. I'm like, yeah, sure. I've had this gift card sitting in my car in my change thing for the last 3 years. So I'm like, okay, I got to spend this money. But the thing about not the Battle Pass, but all the different currencies that the game has, it's kind of overwhelming because they talk about there's hilts, there's dust, there's a different kind of dust, there's runes, there's
more different dust,
more different runes, there's gold, all of these things you can buy, and all of these materials do something different. So some materials are used to upgrade your gems. Some are used to upgrade your gear. Some are used to also upgrade your gear. Sometimes you need multiple resources to upgrade your gear and your gems. And the game encourages you to buy a lot of this stuff. And it's 400% off, discount. You just came out with a game. You can't try to tell me it's on sale already. But but I will say, I was on LinkedIn on somebody's post about hey, Diablo Immortal release, yay, we're so excited, some of the developers, which is cool. People in the comments being play to win. It's play to win, of course. Yeah, blah blah blah. By the way, LinkedIn's not the place to be a shitty human being. It's for networking professional.
Oh, this game's play to win. Also, please check out my resume. I'm currently accepting offers for new positions.
So I think that the critique that I've seen for pay to win, you can spend a lot of money. And I think people have done a couple different videos and a couple different articles about how much it would cost to max out your stuff, a couple grand if you wanted to do a lot of that advanced stuff. But you don't need to pay.
You could.
But you don't need to.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
No. Go ahead.
You definitely don't have to spend that money. And really the only benefit I feel like you're going to get from spending the money is that you'll get to play the game less in terms of because you'll just eventually upgrade your equipment much faster, and then you can hop into higher level raids or higher level dungeons, but you're still essentially playing the same game. You're just getting the stuff faster, right? So for me, we talked about buying the Battle Pass. I did not know what to expect on this game when I downloaded it for free. I figured I'll check it out, see what it's all about. I had just gotten a brand new phone anyway, so I was like, oh, this would be a fun way to put my new iPhone through its paces. And played it for a few days and was like, I'm having a lot of fun with this. There is a pretty immersive storyline throughout. If you're into story, there's plenty of things to do in the game. You picked it up. We had a few different people playing it, and I was like, all right, well, as a philosophy, right? If I pick up your free to play game and there is a base level way to spend a few dollars and support the developer, whether you're an indie developer or one of the biggest gaming studios in the world, typically I'm like, yeah, I'll throw a few dollars in in the pile, right? So a battle pass option, to me, I've come around to battle passes a little bit more over the last couple of years. Throwing, what was the battle pass? Like five, I don't think it was even 10 bucks, like $5 for the basic battle pass or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, five for the basic. And then I think it was like 15 for the deluxe.
Yeah. And I just bought the basic battle pass. I was like, hey, here's some money. Thank you for everybody making the game. And now I get a few extra gems and different things when I hit certain levels, right? Mm-hmm. So I get another level. And you do, I think, unlock additional XP through the battle pass. So it is helping me to level up a little bit faster, which is fine because I frankly don't have all the time in the world to play it. So despite my best efforts, despite what you might ask some of my kids, I don't have all the time to play it. So
it does speed things up. So for those who, if I think we have some Halo people who are in the chat, you know, like the battle pass is you pay for a battle pass, you level up your, it's like a separate level progression thing.
Yeah.
And every time you level up, you unlock perks or gems or emojis, you know, or emoticons, whatever.
Which I've never used.
Never, never. I'm like, why is this a level 30?
What, some glyphs for the, what you call it? The rifts or something?
Yeah. And every time you level up on the battle pass, it also gives you a significant chunk of experience for your character. And in order to level up your battle pass, this is what the battle pass does. I mean, this is what the game does. This is how it's addictive. In order to level up your battle pass, you do daily activities such as bounties, which are just like, go to this area, kill a bunch of monsters, turn it in. Go to do these dungeons. Every time you do dungeons, you get some points that goes towards your battle pass. Go kill elite monsters. Do this, do that, yada, yada, yakety smackety. And that's how you spend 6 hours out on your back porch every morning because you're like, ooh, gotta get this 16 bounties out of the way. Gotta get these, you know, and then like it's 8 bounties a day. And then if you miss a day, then it just like, it starts accumulating and like, God, I'm behind. And then it wants you to a standard free to play thing where you have to log in every day to get some reward. And then you also
first kill of the day.
First kill of the day.
Yeah.
It's designed to keep you playing. Which is great when you're binging it short term, like I am, and I'm going to quit pretty soon. But
good to know.
No, I mean I'll play with you.
Our war band is never going to build its first camp.
Incorrect, because that's part of one of my milestones for before I quit the game.
Okay, cool. Yeah. We should have the game on and going right now while we podcast, just so we can. That would be very distracting and not a good idea.
No.
But yeah, you talk about like doing those daily things, doing the bounties. As I've played through the game, I find that there are a lot of things that you can do in this game, and I think it's smart on behalf of the developers to diversify the activities within the game and allow people to play the game the way they want to play it necessarily. So if you're really interested in a story about collecting these stones that were going to help lock some demon away in a portal or something, you can play through that story and you can eventually level up. You may have to go do some side quests or, you know, repeat some rifts or things like that to be able to get to certain levels, but eventually you can play through that way. If you just want to like chew through some dungeons, play those over and over again, they have the challenge rifts and the daily rifts are a great way to just either by yourself or with a group hop into some different dungeons and just start playing and just keep leveling up that way. We talked about the bounties, the heliquary. This is like their raid system, right? This opens up about halfway through where there is a demon portal, and I think you have to have like 8 people,
yeah,
as a minimum.
Talking in about group, talking about raid bosses, that. Right?
Yeah, and then you hop in and you fight a big old boss. I have done this one time. We were not successful. we all died.
By the way, this heliquary thing that we're talking about. After you defeat the raid boss, then you get a gem, which you can then put in this thing called a heliquary. You unlock it, you can upgrade it, and it gives you bonuses for the challenge rifts, which like attack speed up, extra health, all that type of stuff. Which, by the way, there is a resource that you can buy to unlock extra slots in the heliquary faster. Every single aspect of this game, you can buy something for it, and that is a critique of mine. Not because like I don't want to spend money, but because there are so many resources, and it's I looked at my backpack in the game recently, like not the equipment like where all the loot drops, but yeah, another tab in there, and there were so many things. I'm like, what do I even do with this? Thankfully, you can click it and it will navigate to where you can spend it. So I went to some random place that I don't even recall ever having been to. And it's like, you can spend your gold for legendary items. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Guy that like has one of 4 different like pieces or so, or you can buy like 4 different types of armor and, yeah, maybe get a legendary
maybe,
one.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. I do want to talk about, you talked about things that we can do. One of those being primarily the story of Diablo Immortal. There's an aspect of it, like a kind of PvP aspect of it, which is the shadows versus the immortals. I don't know how much you've delved into that so far.
Yeah, I've unlocked those scrolls, and I played one battleground, like, match just to try it out.
Are you the shadows or are you the immortals?
I think I was shadows.
Okay, good, because I don't want to have to kill you when you become corrupted. Which
it's,
is the story.
The job of the shadows to keep the immortals in check so that they never get too powerful.
So there is that. So that's kind of an interesting aspect of the game. But the story, here's how I play Diablo, any Diablo game. Like, I don't have time to listen to Deckard Cain tell, like, oh, you need to defeat the world stone in order to seal Diablo back in hell. I'm like, come on. I'm trying to level up here.
It's a very accurate Deckard Cain impression, by the way.
I'm just trying to get to the end of the game. I beat the game this morning, and like I had to pee. And I'm like, come on. Okay, this has to be the last dungeon. It's not the last dungeon. And like people are inviting me to like dungeons and stuff like that. I'm like, that sounds cool, but I want to beat this game. I finally did. And I skipped through all of the...
You've lost all of the colorful context and understanding of the characters. Honestly, I've listened to most of it and I just don't remember any of it. So
yeah,
it's
maybe that's what it is it's confusing, right?
Like, yeah, it is kind of confusing, but I kind of get that a lot with really deep like fantasy type worlds in general, when they start creating different types of realities and, you know, portals and things. And I'm just like, what is this? This is a what? Okay. All right. The evil red thing comes through the demon door. Got it.
I just
keep tapping this button and then the numbers pop up on the screen and then eventually it dies.
I read like the first 3 words of the text and it gives me context for the next 3 words of the next text box. And
it's like a fun little guessing game for you.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder where the story's going by only reading 1% of the actual words.
By the end of the game, I'm like, I have a dagger and I'm supposed to use this dagger for something. I'll figure it out.
Navigate to the next spot.
Yeah. Anyway, I do like the game. I think that it's free to play. You sent me a message and you said, just to think that we're in a day and age where I'm playing Diablo on my phone. That's the craziest thing to me.
That's the aspect that I think is undersold on here, because you can play the game on PC and it's definitely not going to be like a AAA title, like the best PC game you've ever played, because it's built for mobile, right? So when you play on your PC, it's the same experience, just a slightly bigger screen, and you can use keyboard, mouse, that kind of stuff, right? But the coolest thing to me is it seems like it really does a great job of saving your state over on the cloud, whatever server you're on, because I can be sitting down right here at this computer playing, and then my kids are all like, "Hey, Dad, let's go to the pool." And I'm like, "All right, kids." And so I'll escape the game. We'll go to the pool. I'll pull out my phone and pick right up where I was.
Yeah,
in the same dungeon, in the same spot, with the same gear. And I'm playing now and ignoring my children who are swimming.
Help,
in water.
Dad! We're drowning.
Keep pressing A, kids.
It's a cutscene, children.
It's a cutscene. Skip the dialogue. But no, like that's breaks at work. I'm like, oh, I can knock out a bounty real quick. Cool. It's okay. And then back to business, right? Mm-hmm. So I do feel at. Have you played on the PC at all, or played on computer at all?
I tried one time, and then I was trying to connect. No, I was trying to play mouse and keyboard, and I tried to rebind the keys because anytime I clicked the mouse, it would just move. It wouldn't attack. I tried a space bar, and it would just move wherever my mouse was pointed currently. And I restarted it, same thing. And so I hadn't touched it on PC.
Yeah, okay. I do play a fair amount on PC, but I think I enjoy the interface on the phone a little bit better, just because it's got the on-screen buttons for all of your attacks, and then you can navigate pretty easily. And I don't know, it works. It works really well on the phone. So if you want to join our war band.
It's called Rick and Morty. It's on the Star System server thing. Yeah,
Star of Azkaban or something, whatever.
I do, interestingly enough, we're talking about Diablo Immortal. You mentioned at the start of this conversation about people being like, why don't you just give us Diablo 4? Why are you wasting resources on a mobile game and not Diablo 4? This last weekend, the Bethesda Microsoft showcase was there, and we got our glimpse of Diablo 4, lots of gameplay, the reveal of the Necromancer class, which is in Diablo Immortal as well. And so in everything that was in that Bethesda showcase is coming to Game Pass day one. So console and PC, Diablo 4 will be there. Travis, here's my question. I know the answer, but I'm gonna ask it. You gonna play Diablo 4 with me when day one Game Pass cross console?
Yeah, man, I'm gonna have to be in this. I keep looking for reasons to get rid of my Game Pass, and they keep making me have to keep spending that money, even though my Xbox is dying. And I probably do need to upgrade my Xbox to an Xbox One or Series XS / 7.
Do you not have the Game Pass Ultimate where you can play all that on PC?
I do.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, that's how we were playing Halo for a while.
Okay. And
we're doing all that stuff, right? So, new Squanch Games game coming out recently. We'll talk about it in depth over on Interdimensional RSS at some point. But that's a direct to Game Pass game as well. It's a brave new world in big title gaming where games like Diablo. All sorts of these big title games. You can just play them if you if you just keep your subscription active, right? Like you just keep feeding the machine.
Here's the one thing I want to not happen for Diablo 4, which is this is free to play. I'm good with it. I understand it's free to play, and you have and you're trying to recoup your costs with your 10 million downloads. Like that's the metric. That's the important metric that we gain from this Blizzard is 10 million downloads. TikTok has 10 million. Like there's all these other apps that are free to download that have. That's not a clear indicator of how much people enjoy your product. Anyways, not the point. What I don't want from Diablo 4 is all of the microtransactions. I understand some cosmetic things. You know, I think everybody at this point in time kind of accepts cosmetics because it doesn't affect your gameplay. It doesn't let you get a higher level faster before everybody else. But if Diablo 4 has all of that, all the microtransactions, then I'm going to be like, okay, all right, you don't need to do that, especially when people are paying $80 for the game when it's not on Game Pass.
Are you going to skip through the whole story on Diablo 4?
Well, if I'm playing with you and playing with size mode, I probably won't. No, I think it's different too. A little bit on the phone because on the phone, like it is comfortable to play on the phone, but when you're playing for 6 hours straight, then a little sore over time.
Yeah.
Another free to play game. We're talking about free to play games. Another one that was announced before, it's been announced for a long time, but it is actually coming out free to play in the fall, I think, is Overwatch 2. Overwatch 2,
which is a game that
Travis likes, Overwatch. It's a game where you sit in a guard shack just watching a gate.
Yep, it's you just watch over things. I guess I didn't realize it was going to be free to play.
Yeah, that came out in this last weekend during the Microsoft Bethesda showcase.
So, do they just not sell enough titles, and so they're just made it free to play? Is that how that went down?
I don't know. I think
was that a COVID-ism? Because I'm a huge Overwatch fan. I have an Overwatch giant mouse pad right in front of me right now. There's little Overwatch characters. You can see that pink thing right there is an Overwatch character. Like, big Overwatch fan. Sure. Overwatch 2 seemed interesting to me, but also like trying to take a good thing and just see if they can squeeze more money out of it. So making it free to play, I was just like, I don't know. Like that's I'm learning this now in the podcast.
Yeah.
And, so, I mean, they're going to continue to make money through, you know, loot crates and or loot boxes and all that other stuff that they've made on Overwatch, for a long time.
This is from The Verge. I'm reading an article from The Verge. It's launching in early access and on October 4th. It'll be on PC, Xbox, PS, PlayStation and Nintendo Switch. And in a press release, Mike Ybarra, president of Blizzard, says, can't wait to roll out the Overwatch 2 experience. An always on and always evolving era for the franchise. They also plan to have a reveal event live stream that takes place on the 16th of June at 1 p.m. Eastern. It seems like talking about that early access thing, we'll see how it goes. I think Blizzard maybe is like testing the water with with this new Diablo and being like, you know what, we can probably recoup any costs for development by just selling stuff.
I'm gonna put on my cynic hat a little bit here and feel like Overwatch, even though it was a massive, huge game, they built their own esports league around it. Like it was for a while almost felt like the future of Blizzard's like business model. And then the underwhelming announcement of Overwatch 2, it almost coincided with a lot of people seeming to move away from Overwatch and onto other games. Apex Legends was rising at that time.
Yeah.
Halo has had a lot of success as essentially free to play for their PvP type game, right? And I think the move to make Overwatch free to play is a way to bring back a lot of those players, because Overwatch 2, you're not gonna play Overwatch and then go play Overwatch 2. Overwatch 2 is the replacement of Overwatch.
Yeah.
Like you're not gonna play Overwatch 1 anymore. There's gonna be aspects of Overwatch 2 where you can probably have battles and types of things that feel like the original version of Overwatch, but this game I think exists to replace the previous game. And so hopefully it's well received. Hopefully people play it. My son loves playing Overwatch now, and so I like to go in there and just play arcade. I am not at the level where I can play competitive really consistently. But I still love playing Overwatch because it's just the team aspect of it still appeals to me. So
there's something here that is intriguing to me. It's this idea of like team-based shooters or shooters in general, like Counter-Strike or Call of Duty, Battlefield, all that thing, even like Madden to a certain extent, where the games don't really change that much, but there are like small differences. And if you're so invested in one type of gameplay or mechanic, then the company has to come up with a way to get the consumer to migrate to the newer product.
Yeah.
And especially in this day and age where games are expensive, there's so much to play, there's so much to do. Why would they move to this new ecosystem or platform? A free to play would boost 10 million downloads probably day one.
I hate to give credit where credit's due, but hats off to Fortnite. Fortnite broke the mold, right? Fortnite was free to play and they made all the money. But how did they do that? How did they keep people engaged, keep the game feeling fresh, keep dollars coming in, keeping kids begging their parents to swipe their card one more time, right? It's this battle pass model, right? It's the seasons, right? So adding seasons to Fortnite, they were able to completely reinvent the game every few months. You have a big event at the end of a season, all of a sudden a monster attacks the island, you change the map around, you add a couple new rules. And for this season, now you can go on the water instead of you can't, or you can drive cars, or you can build, or you cannot build. Oh, and by the way, within this season, if you buy the battle pass again, you also can unlock all of these different emotes and costumes and skins and all that kind of stuff.
I'm gonna go even further back, and I know I'm gonna say this example, and if anybody's listening that knows more about game history than I do, you're gonna be like, yeah, but what about
this? You geekade guys?
what about
still listen?
What about this game and this series? So I'm gonna go back before Fortnite, just using the reference that I know, which is League of Legends, which is like they were doing that stuff before Fortnite came out.
Sure.
But like all of these like mini evolutions in like Farmville, all these mini evolutions of microtransactions and advancing the game slowly and unlocking new characters or on skins and stuff like that. Oh, you can unlock the skins normally, but if you play the game a lot, you know, and then Fortnite then takes that. Let's also say Roblox. Let's put Roblox out there for, you know, those Robux. Want the kids trying to play all these free to play games. It's just filled to the brim with people wanting to microtransaction. But then Fortnite took that to their credit, and I think they they put it in a first person PUBG-esque environment, which PUBG being hot at the time when Fortnite was around. Mm-hmm. And then putting all these aspects together to create something that is still living on. And is there going to be a Fortnite 2 eventually?
Well, and that's where I think
it's like, is there World of Warcraft 2 yet? Like, if it's not broken, then why would you create a new one?
And I think that's the intent with Overwatch 2, right? Is to replace Overwatch as a ecosystem, as a, you know, Overwatch was a game where you had, you know, your standard, you know, PvP, you had a competitive mode. Yeah. They added an arcade mode eventually where you could mix up some of the mechanics within the games and make them more interesting or more dynamic. But that was Overwatch. Like it was built and really emphasized over the last few years to be a balanced competitive esports game, because you wanted to have a team with a certain number of players. You could, you know, balance out those teams and have consistent matches with different things like that. And I think at its core, Overwatch will always try to remain, to a degree, that type of game. But now, instead of releasing 20 new characters in an Overwatch 2 and then saying, all right, here's the new version, hope you play this for a few years, it's going to be that evolutionary type of model where, hey, we're releasing the free-to-play version of Overwatch 2 starting in October. Here are three new characters coming out with that release, and you're going to be able to buy this pass, or you're going to be able to buy this thing, or you're going to buy these loot boxes to unlock additional skins for these characters. Oh, and you're going to get your legacy skins because you owned the original Overwatch. And that's going to happen for 3 months, 5 months, whatever. And then, oh, check it out. New thing going on. Yeah. There's a new
the meta
instance.
The meta.
There's yeah, and the meta changes. They add a new character. They release a new story, a new map, and then the game just continues to build like that.
They balance, they buff, they nerf characters, their abilities. Somebody's attack does like 10% less damage now. This other person
they've been doing for years too. Sure. So it's just I don't know. I think they thought they could sell a different type of Overwatch game with Overwatch 2, and fans were not as interested in that as. So I'm curious to see what we actually get in October, like what version of Overwatch 2 we get compared to early release trailers and announcements and things like that. For those playing at home, Dota 2 was one of the first known examples of a battle pass concept. So that according to Wikipedia.
No, well, okay.
I don't know if
well,
that matters.
Dota 2
from Valve. So, I don't know. The games are changing. It's cool because you can play a lot of stuff for free, but then it's also they get your money one way or the other. And then the rest of us keep spending, you know, $15 a month or whatever it is. Just to play a whole bunch of other stuff. We had intended to review the latest MCU offering in this episode, right? We're gonna talk about Ms. Marvel, right? But there's one other game that we haven't discussed that you played. I think it again falls into this idea. This has basically become a gaming episode. So if you're a Ms. Marvel fan, we're gonna discuss that in a couple weeks after a few more episodes come out, apparently. But I want to know about Rift Tracks. What is this game? And explain to us. This is another Game Pass game, right?
No, this one is not a Game Pass game.
It is not
a Game Pass game. If it is, Matt just, he wasted money on me. No, so Rift Tracks, if you know anything about Mystery Science Theater 3000, you know that I love that show. And in watching a movie, I did say that weird. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
These people watch these movies and make jokes about things happening on screen, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Riff Trax is some of the original folks from MST3K, Mike Nelson, Rob something. Anyway, they went on
Kevin Murphy, yeah. Bill Corbett.
Yeah, there you go. Bill Corbett. They went on from MST3K. They started up Riff Trax, which you can follow here on Twitch. They're on Twitch, wherever you are. And they watch movies and they do the same thing, right? Well, Riff Trax came out with a game. And if you've ever played any of the Jackbox games, you know this kind of format where you buy the software and then you can play on your mobile device. You go to the website and then you can play along with the game on your phone. And so how the game works is they show some public domain footage and it talk like there's a scene that's showing a scene where like a kid's talking to some other kid. And then it says insert riff here. And then it goes to your mobile device. And on your mobile device, you type in what you think would be funny if for that particular scene. And then a like Microsoft Sam kind of AI voice will then say the riff for you. So example, if the scene is, hey, Johnny, where'd you get that Coca-Cola? And then it says, insert your riff here. It would be like, hey, Johnny, where'd you get that Coca-Cola? I got it from the Coca-Cola ship. And then it'll repeat it again. Hey, Johnny, where'd you get that Coca-Cola? I'm not drinking Coca-Cola. This is an A&W root beer. You know, like whatever. And then so,
just hilarious.
Hilarious idea. Hey, Johnny, where'd you get that Coca-Cola? This isn't a Coca-Cola.
This is black tar heroin.
There you go. Hey, good. Yeah, that'd be good. So then all three of those riffs, you'd vote on them, and then you get points based on which riff is the best. And then there you go. So Matt bought this game for me. And the other night,
Game Pass, right?
I think it's on Xbox and PC and a couple other platforms. And he and I were playing and we're cracking up. And then I went to my son who likes MST3K. Like, you want to play this game? I said, yeah, of course. And so then my son, Matt, and I were playing and just cracking up. It's so good. My kid is wittier than he gives himself credit for, or I give him credit for, because he was like, oh, that was you. There's a scene where there's like a truck coming down the road and it's coming towards the camera and there's a kid in like a monkey mask and it's like it zooms in on him and it's like, oh no, here it comes, and the kid in the monkey mask is like, oh no, and then it says insert your riff here right as the kid walks into the street. And I forget what I said. I forget what Matt says, but my kid put, oh no, now I'll never be able to drink a beer. it was out of nowhere. Like that's it's good, man. That's good.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and sit on my invitation for Riff Trax, which never happened. Maybe September.
Yeah. So I have it on Xbox. If I can connect my Xbox to Twitch, then check this out.
Didn't you buy a capture card?
And that's it for Apathetic Enthusiasm. I don't know where
we're going to go test some things.
I don't know where it is. I don't know where
I found mine. I have my capture card. I just don't have a use for it right now. I thought about hooking up my Raspberry Pi and playing old ROMs on it. Totally legal ROMs. anyway, that'll about do it. So Riff Trax sounds like a cool idea.
Yeah,
I like the party aspect of it.
Matt was, you know, we wanted more people to play with us. Here's the thing. This is my opinion when it comes to games where people have to be witty. Obviously, my Coca-Cola riffs were not funny. I was just trying to get the point out. But just like with Cards Against Humanity or any of these games where people are trying to be witty, some people are they're just not. And don't try to get the people who aren't, because then it's like, hey Johnny, where'd you get that Coca-Cola? I got it.
Coca-Cola store.
I got it from the vending machine. Fuck. Oh, one of Matt's best riffs was, I forget what the scene was. The scene was, it was like a how to do video. And it was like, you can decorate boxes with dried grass. And it's like, shows somebody like putting glue on the box and then putting a dry glass, the dried grass. And then it says, insert your riff here. And Matt's riff was, no. The best.
So good. So good. All right, everybody. That's our show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. That's our show. Watch Miss Marvel on Disney Plus.
Watch Miss Marvel, everybody. We're gonna
talk about it in 2 weeks. It's got cool Into the Spider-Verse vibes. That's all I have to say. Yeah. I like it. You should like it too. If you want to support this show, the best thing you could do is just leave us a review. Head out to wherever you consume this content, whether that's YouTube or your podcatcher of choice. If they have the option to rate or review this podcast and you haven't done that already, well, now's the time. Thank you so much to everybody that has or that will or that is willing. And thanks to everybody that continues to subscribe, download, listen, follow, all of those things. We are going to head over now to a little bit of our Twitch-only post show. If you want to be a part of that, make sure that you're following us over on twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. Thanks to everybody for listening. Until next time, I am Travis.
And I am Brandon. Thank you so much for listening. Bop it.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.